Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Tuesday Morning Show. And this is a great occasion. Julie and I are back together co-hosting again. Good morning, Julie.
Hello, Phil. It appears our separation has only been temporary. It's so nice to see you again.
We had to prove to people it wasn't permanent, I think. So, and Julie and I just spent a good chunk of time last week, the whole week, together with 18 other folks from the Idaho Trails Association down in the Salmon River Country, the Gospel Hump Wilderness area, going out and clearing trails and having wonderful times with rattlesnakes, Julie's first rattlesnake, ticks and poison ivy and rain. It was wonderful, wasn't it, Julie?
Well, it truly was wonderful, Phil, and it was much more than I expected. And the rattlesnake, I hope you won't continue with that story because I'm still a little embarrassed about screaming like a little girl when I saw the first one. But it does tie us into our topic for today slightly, doesn't it? We worked hard, we were camping, and we're on our own way up the river.
Yeah, I think we were managing to deal with some of the deprivations that many people who go outside deal with, except we were not alone. We were in the company of many other people. Well, except maybe that one time I wandered off for a few hours, but that's another story. Today, we are really excited to have local Sandpoint area longtime resident Carrie Lee, who is a contestant on this upcoming episode of, or this upcoming season, season 9 of History Channel's Alone series. And I think I'm as excited, Julie, as maybe you are to have Carrie on.
I can't believe we got her. Welcome, Carrie. Say hello.
Good morning. How are you, Phil and Julie? It's good to be here.
We're doing wonderful. And a lot of our local listeners will recognize you by reputation. But let's do a little dive into a more formal introduction. Carrie is the founder of Sacred Cedars Wilderness School, a primitive skills instructor, an energy medicine practitioner, brain tanner, herbalist, naturalist, minimalist, and totally off-gridder. We know her as the crazy lady who lives in the hut with no power. So, Carrie, is there anything else you would like to tell us about yourself, your background, and your lifestyle?
Sure. I will correct you a little bit. I lived without power or refrigeration for 8 years, and eventually I now have one solar panel with two batteries, so very minimal solar system. And all I use that for is lights and electronics, really. That's all I can use it for. So yeah, I've lived in Sandpoint since 1997. My grandparents lived in Kokalala. So my first time here was when I was 12 years old. And I think that's something 40 something years old. I can't really count anymore. And I guess I've always just had a love for being outdoors. When I was a kid, we used to go backpacking and canoeing with my family. And back then we didn't have helmets. It was just like going down a canoe and going down the river in class three rapids. And just kind of always loved being outside and adventures like that.
Yes, an adventuresome lifestyle. And that's where you came from. And that's where you've been your entire life.
Yeah, and I actually come from a whole long lineage of pioneers. From my great, great, great grandfather was a scout on the Oregon Trail. So it's just kind of in my blood to be out exploring and doing things like that. There was a while that I was a commercial fisherwoman in Alaska, and that was quite adventurous. I used to sell salmon here in Sandpoint, and I'd go down to Arizona and sell salmon down there. I no longer do that, but that was quite a crazy lifestyle. Kind of started off doing a three-month kayak trip where we kayaked all over the Southeast Inside Passage for a total of like 500 miles. And that was probably one of the best outdoor experiences I've ever had leading up to this. And I think every couple of years I try to do some kind of an extensive adventurous excursion out there somewhere.
You would, as many people in our area, you would be called someone who grew up wild. And I think that's what connects so many people here in Sandpoint and you and Julie and I. And yet there's so many people that we know too who don't have those experiences, don't grow up that way. And they live them vicariously through storytelling, by hearing other people's adventures. And you had an adventure whose story is going to be told soon. And so let's move into that a little bit. You're one of 10 contestants on the upcoming season of Alone. Tell our listeners a little bit about the program and the contest.
Okay. Well, it's the show Alone is about where 10 participants go out with only 10 items that they get to choose and very minimal clothing. And you are each given your own spot, your own location, and within that location, you do your best to survive. You forage for your food, you hunt for your food, make a shelter, do whatever it is you need to do. And whoever stays out the longest wins $500,000. So why not do something you love to do and maybe make some money at it?
It's a grand adventure. I want to hear more about the minimalism, and I can see Julie's face. She has some of the same questions, but the first one, minimal clothing. How minimal is the minimal clothing?
You're allotted things like, see if I can remember, 2 pairs of socks, only 2 pairs of underwear, a pair of pants, a sweater, 2 hats, snow pants or thermal. It's very well outlined of what we can take. I think 2 pairs of boots, but it's very minimal. There's not like you go to your closet and choose what you're going to wear for today. And it's very important to figure out how you're going to layer your clothing because it all has to work together.
Phil, it sounds like a backpacking trip or like a Pacific Crest Trail adventure, only worse because you're dropped off and there's nobody around.
Well, it actually sounds like more clothes than I packed for my last 3,000-mile hike. But we were going very light, ultra light, and either moving or inside a sleeping bag. So a little different.
But yes, and I think you could get to a grocery store if you had to, Phil.
Yes, frequently.
So there is that. Well, I would really like to know what inspired you, Carrie. You've got such a great history of instructing about primitive skills, and you yourself live in a rather primitive setting, but what inspired you to try and get on this show?
Yeah, well, my whole inspiration for doing this in the beginning was when I was 8 years old, I read the book, My Side of the Mountain. And ever since then, all I wanted to do is be like that kid and go out with nothing but my knife and survive. And over the years, I've gotten a little smarter and I've realized that's pretty unrealistic. So I've been kind of preparing to do that for many, many years and learning the primitive skills and what you can eat out there. And I realized he had a library to go to. So he went and learned how to make buckskin from going to a library and reading a book. That's really unrealistic, I'll tell you that. So I've been preparing for that, making my own clothes and wanting to go out in a primitive way. And so that was just part of my whole life plan. And it took me 50 years to actually make that happen. But I've gone out and tested myself in different trips and going out primarily primitive and eating 100% wild food for 5 weeks at a time. So that was kind of in preparation, but I never felt satisfied. And so when this show came about, it's like, well, I don't know, this sounds really exciting. Maybe I should try it.
There are so many questions about the experience that we would love to ask you, but we understand that those kinds of things are going to be what the show is all about. And so we will learn through watching and then maybe have you back on in the fall to go in depth on some of them. But what was the selection process like? How did you come to be selected?
So for me, it's been a long journey, and my close friends would know this because they witnessed me doing this journey for about the last 6 years. I didn't know about the show till after season 2. And a friend of mine, my coworker, Randy Russell, who used to live here, asked me, like, why aren't you on the Alone show? I'm like, I've never heard of it. I don't have TV. And when I looked at it, 2 of my friends were on season 1 and 2 of my friends were on season 2. Like, well, if they can do it, I can do it. And they actually called me for season 3 but they did it through Messenger, and I don't have Messenger at that time. So I didn't get the message till it was too late. So they were like, well, we'll go ahead and interview you for the next season. But season four was a duo, and I didn't have a partner to do that. Season five was a playoff. So I applied for season six, and I got pretty far, and it was feeling pretty good, but I didn't quite make it. And so I asked for feedback, and they came back from the History Channel and said, well, we're looking for big personality. And like, well, I am who I am. I can't change my personality. I'm just, you know, I'm kind of quiet sometimes. And so I let it all go. And there was definitely some grieving because I worked so hard to get on the show. And I just let it all go and did my own thing. And a year ago, they called me back and said, you know, those big egos are the first off the show, and we want you to be on the show. And the History Channel realizes it's not all about the big ego and the big personality. It comes down to the skills. And so
wow. I replied. I had no idea that this was such a long process for you. It's wonderful to hear this.
Congratulations. And if I can delve into an area that I know from conversation with you, you're comfortable. There are not many women on the show. And just looking at the bios of others and stuff that's on the History Channel's website, you're not one of the younger ones either. Tell us a little bit about that journey.
Yeah, I would have been a lot younger 6 years ago. I just want to really stress that if you're a woman that has any kind of interest to be on this show, I would go for it. They do have trouble finding women and women with skills. And I know there's a lot of women out there that do have the skills. I think part of it is that there's family, and papas can leave their kids behind a lot easier than mamas have a really hard time to just be able to leave their kids behind for a long period of time. So that's part of it. And I think the other part is the show. You got to remember, it's a show. It's real, but it's a show. And there's a lot of scary music and a lot of intensity that goes with it. And it's super intimidating. Like, I watch it and I can't go to bed. I'm all intense and tight, like, oh my God. But what you have to remember is when you're out there in the woods, that scary music is not playing in the background. It's just you, the trees, your location, and your environment, and what's in your heart. And so you have to remember that, and that intensity comes later for the show portion.
Yeah, good to know. But you are still alone for all that time.
Yeah. I think, yes, you are. Julie, I think Daniel would let you go for a few months if you needed.
Okay, Carrie, you and I will chat afterwards. We'll see if I'm a potential candidate.
What was it like once you were selected? Was it obviously something you had looked forward to for some time? And was it this big thrill? It's my turn finally. Or is it, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into?
All of the above. I was like so excited. And then at the same time, a year ago, I cracked my sacrum. And so I was very sedentary all winter long. I didn't snowboard all winter long. And when I got the call, I was like, oh no, oh crap, there's that four-letter word. I'm not in shape and not ready, and I've got a lot to do to prepare. But at the same time, I knew that this was my chance and I had to just go for it and do everything I could to get ready. So there was excitement, anxiety, nervousness, all of the above, stress, getting the gear together, all of it.
So what did you do to get ready? Was it just a lot of strength building? Tell me, what did that entail?
Yeah, that's a great question. I started, you know, I like to do dance and yoga. So I signed myself up to do all this dance and yoga. And then I realized what I really need to do was to gain weight. And I talked to, and let me know if I can't plug in the Sandpoint Strength.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. That's, we have no problem with that.
Okay. So I saw an ad from Sandpoint Strength and Fitness in town, and they were doing this 90-day challenge for women. And I called them up and said, hey, I got a challenge for you. I need to get in shape and I need to gain weight. And they're like, okay. And then I explained to them what was going on. I was like, yeah, we're going to take you on. So I worked with the owner, Kenny, and he did personal training with me, and it worked out beautifully because he was a hunter. He's a bow hunter. So he knew exactly what muscles I needed to work on. And we were very careful. He said, don't sweat. You got to gain weight. So the way I was going to do it was totally the wrong way. And he totally dialed me in. And I'm just so grateful for him for doing that work for me. Yeah, so, and I ate a lot of food.
I totally get the gaining weight. As someone who's done some long hikes and marathons, it may seem counterintuitive, but that's a strategy that a lot of long distance hikers take, put on a few pounds of storage before you start. What kind of skills? You have a lot of skills. You touched on some of them earlier. I'd love to hear more about some of the real specific skills you had that were invaluable to you, where you learned them, and which ones you maybe honed in or practiced a bit more after selection.
Yeah, that's a great question. I have to give credit to all my mentors over many periods, years and years of time. Because like I said, I started learning when I was a child, but I didn't really start learning the primitive skills till 2007 or 2006. I made my first fire, my first bow drill fire. And once I found that community of people, I'm like, where have you guys been my whole life? And really dove in deep. And so I learned a lot of those type of skills from all those teachers, and there's too many to mention, but I just want to say thank you to all of them. I also learned a lot of my herbal remedies and all about herbs and wild edible foods from the teachers that I've learned herbal medicines from. And in my healing work too, there's just a lot of, it's really, the soft skills are really important, and that's the positive attitudes. And so doing your own personal work is very important, because then now you're going out there with a clear conscience and your demons are not as likely to show up. Not saying they won't show up, because they still do. But if you've dealt with them, you're like, oh yeah, I recognize you. You know.
Yeah.
Get rid of them.
So mental. So you had a lot of mental preparation in addition to the physical. And I can imagine that's very important, as you just stated. You're by yourself and you just got to hang in there and really conquer your demons.
Yeah, that's so, to me, that speaks to me so much. The physical deprivation and challenges are what I think most people will gravitate towards. And again, I know from my experience, having hiked the Pacific Crest Trail alone and being gone for 5 months, you really get into your head. And that's something that's not easy for most people. So working on that, finding that center before you go, has to be so important.
Yes. And I will also add, because you asked me the question of what skill did I have to work on the most, was my bow hunting. So I've done a lot of archery and I hunt with a rifle, but I had not been successful at hunting game with a bow. And a lot of that just has to do with big game, because being a small person, you have to pull a certain amount of weight on a bow. And I didn't have that. I would hunt with a bow, but with no intention to actually shoot, because it would not be an ethical shot. So that was the thing I had to work on. I needed to get strong so that I could hunt big game. And that was my big challenge.
Yeah. And I can't ask how it worked out, because the show isn't aired yet, but I can't wait.
Sometime in the fall, we're going to have a post-mortem interview with you, but I can't wait to see the show either. That's maybe a segue into talking a little bit more about the show. What makes Alone unique amongst survival shows that are on television?
Yeah, there's so many shows out there now, and this show has really made a hit because it is super authentic. There is no camera crew. You are out there alone doing your thing, and you have to film yourself. And that takes a lot of time and energy and patience. And so it's real. It's real.
That's a whole skill in itself.
I was going to say the same thing. I bet you required some training in getting yourself filmed.
Yes, you had to become proficient at using a camera, and and that was kind of fun too, because it allowed you to use your creativity. Like, I like to be creative, and so try to get different angles and different shots and not just sit in front of the camera and say, hi, this is me and I'm going to do blah, blah, blah. But how can you show it and make it look really fun?
Or so I'm not sure if we can ask this. We can edit it out if not. But did you film your own screen test shot for the selection process?
You mean for the casting videos?
Yeah. Did you do a selfie video to try to gain acceptance as a contestant?
Yes. So that was part of the process of applying, is you had to film yourself doing a number of things, and they would ask you, like, show yourself doing this. And it kind of changed over the years as the show has progressed. And I'll just have to say the show has progressed amazingly well. Every year they learn something and they really take that to heart and then try to make it better the next season. But to apply for the show, we had to film ourselves, and basically that our casting videos, which will be published at some point, were footage that we took of ourselves.
Well, I can see a preview at the Panada coming up soon.
Sounds fun. Sounds like something I will want to watch for. You know, you've told us why it's unique, the show alone, and I am looking forward to watching this season. And I know you can't tell us very much about what happened, but can you share anything about what some of the biggest challenges were? Don't give away anything that you're not allowed to, but it had to be many things.
Just trying to wordsmith here. I think for me, I don't know if this is a challenge or benefit. I mean, one is my age. And so I'm not as strong as some of the other participants and the males. And so I knew when I went out there that I was not going to be building a log cabin, and I just had to take that kind of thing into consideration. What am I going to do that's going to work for me? And so I don't know if that's a challenge. I could see how that could appear to be a challenge. But to me, I also think it was a benefit, because I did not waste calories on building a log cabin. And so this is it. This is the clinch right here. So when I went out, I knew what my physical abilities and non-abilities were. So I gauged myself on, I forgot what I was going to say now. So I went out there with the intention to work smarter, not harder.
Yeah, that makes sense. Use your skills. Skills will trump strength most any day. So all we know, and I think all you can share, is that it was a remote part of Labrador, Canada, which seems so far away from Idaho. How did that location put your wilderness skills to the test?
Yeah, Labrador is a beautiful place. And being on the other side of the continent, I didn't know what to expect as far as what plants were going to be there. I'm going to be in a totally different environment than what I'm used to. So there's definitely anxiety about that. And once I got there, I realized there was a lot of similarities, which was a blessing. It's a very different place than here, but at the same time, it's just beautiful. And it has this underlining, powerful essence about it. There was something there that was very unique to that location. And I absolutely loved it.
Mm-hmm. Your background, your training, specific to the area you went in, what did you draw on that was most useful?
The first thing that comes to my head is one of the plants that grows here and there, it was horsetail. And I had an issue that I can't talk about right now, but that horsetail was my my rescuer for my situation.
Oh, good. I have about 10 I can't talk about right now. So if you only have one, that's great.
Well, all the more reason to be watching the show coming up. I want to come back to the 10 essentials you had with you. At the start of the interview, you mentioned that you were able to select 10 items to take with you. These aren't the same 10 essentials that Julie and I might put into a backpack for the day. Tell us a little bit about how you came to select the 10 you did. What are the range, perhaps, of things you had to choose from and what you chose?
Yeah. The 10 items, a lot of them are super obvious, like a sleeping bag, for one. There's a few that are hard to juggle, and I brought both with me, and at the last minute, I had to make a decision. Do I want a saw or an axe? You know, and I had to just look at the environment there and make my decision without seeing my location, but just looking at that environment. And so there's a lot of last minute decisions for sure.
So I'm looking at your list of 10 and maybe I'll go through them, but there's one I don't even know, ferro rod. What is okay. that?
Yeah, I was just looking for my list of 10. It gets hard to remember because some of it's so obvious, like a cooking pot or paracord is one I always forget. A ferro rod is like a magnesium strip that you strike and it creates a spark. So you need that to create your fire because you're not allowed to take a lighter. There's many items you're not allowed, firearms, a tent, lighter, those are considered cheating.
Well, if you just perfected that bow drill back 2006, you could have skipped that item and taken both the axe and the saw, right?
I could have. Yes, I could have.
That's hard to start a fire.
Yeah, well, not knowing your environment, and the environment we were in was very wet. That's a very high risk to take. The ferro rod was a no-brainer.
Yeah. Well, then I want to know, where does Gore-Tex come in?
Yeah, well, knowing that the environment that we were headed to, and me being a fisherwoman in Alaska, like, well, I've been in very wet climate, Gore-Tex does not last. In fact, in Alaska, it's a joke. You wear rubber gear. And I just will have to say that, you know, I make buckskin clothing and like, oh, I want to have my buckskin hat and, you know, some pants or something totally primitive to wear out there. But when it came down to it, buckskin sucks in the rain, and it's like, what do you want to do? Do you want to survive or do you want to look good? Like, no, I want to survive. And
there's a lot of long distance hikers I know who would have added an umbrella to this.
Right. Well, I just have to add, this is really funny. My nephew a few years ago, he was all excited about me going. I thought, well, what do you think my 10 items should be? And he's like, and he was very young at the time. He goes, I think an umbrella. Like, okay, well, that's a good idea. But that means I can't bring blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh yeah, yeah, you're right. Okay, I wouldn't bring an umbrella. This is super cute.
Okay, so the contest is over and I know you can't tell us who won or even how it went, but how do we find out? How do we learn more or be able to watch more?
So you can watch the show on the History Channel. It airs on May 26th, which is a Thursday at 9 p.m. And you can also go to history.com and get information there as well.
And does it run weekly for how long?
It's 11 episodes, so starting May 26th and runs till August 4th.
All right.
Throughout the summer.
Wow. This will be my summer TV plan. I can't
wait. What a time to go watch TV.
Might have to hook up the cable again.
It's not even dark at 9 p.m. Yeah.
So can you tell us, would you do it again?
I would do it again in a heartbeat.
Okay. if you were able to have a conversation with a would-be contestant, what would you tell them? Would you offer them advice? Would you say, run, don't do it? Would you encourage them?
I would definitely encourage them, because if it's your passion and you have a desire to do that, I would do it. It's not something to hold back. And yeah, I just have to say, like, do your dream, do what you're passionate about, and don't worry about the other stuff. It'll all fall into place.
And I would add to this, and be persistent and patient, and look how it's worked out. You tried and tried it again, and then you got there. So kudos to you, Carrie Lee.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, that's a very true thing. That's with all things in life. If you really want it, try again. Carrie, tell us about what's coming up this summer for you now that you're not trapped in Labrador.
Well, it's going to be a very busy summer, Phil. As you know, as we said before, I live in a yurt off grid with no running water and this little homestead I've created for myself. And I did that so I could be as close to nature as possible and still live in the modern world. However, now what I am doing in this next 2 months, I will be tearing down my whole homestead. So the yurt that I live in now is going to be moved onto the land of where that I call Sacred Cedars Wilderness School. So my yurt that I've been living in is now going to be the indoor classroom for the wilderness school. So primarily for more crafting classes, or in the winter when we need to do stuff that's not conducive to do outside in the winter. So that land is going to be, I am going to be building all the infrastructure for the school this next summer. So that hopefully by fall, we'll be starting to offer some classes at the Wilderness School.
That is exciting.
Yeah.
And Carrie, is it in our area? It's going to be near to the folks in Sandpoint.
It's in our area. It's only 10 minutes from town. So it should be a lot easier to get to than where I live right now. So that's a benefit. And I'm just really excited. There'll be some week-long courses being out in the actual up in the mountains and not on site on location at the school. And so there's a lot of really exciting things coming up. I'm doing a lot of brainstorming about a program called The Art of Sacred Living that I've been working on for many years. And I'm actually also writing a book about it to be out soon, I hope. And so that program is about doing an immersion retreat out in the wilderness where you can get away from cell phones, from cars, and just really connect with nature and learn some skills and just really learn hard skills and soft skills of how to live in the wilderness.
I would think that your experience, I have to think that your experience on alone can only add to this and
yes,
help you.
How can listeners find out more about the school? Do you have a website or a Facebook page?
Yes, I have a Facebook page. So Carrie Lee is a page that you can learn all about the Alone Show and watch the transformation of things as it unrolls and unfolds out throughout the summer. I have another page for Sacred Cedars Wilderness School. So I encourage you to like that to get updates on what classes are going to be offered. And then I also have my Numinous Living page, which is the energy medicine and healing side of things. And my website is carrieleekanoki.com and is being updated weekly as things unfold as we move forward.
Okay. And it's Carrie with a K, K-A-R-I-E-L-E-E.
Well, Carrie, thank you for joining us this morning on the morning show. It's been absolutely fabulous. Tell us one more time about how listeners can tune in to the series Alone.
Yes, so you can watch it on TV on the History Channel, airing starting May 26th on Thursday nights for 11 episodes starting at 9 p.m.
Very good. Thank you again for coming on the morning show. Julie, I think we're going to definitely have to schedule something in the fall.
Absolutely. This is not enough information. Yeah.
Until then, if listeners tuned in partway or want to listen and re-listen and re-listen to get tips on how to be contestants themselves, they can go to krfy.org and download the podcast. And thank you for coming on again, once again, Carrie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.